Mr. President, recently, at the Valдай Forum, you mentioned fair multipolarity and the need for it. And you also mentioned such a phenomenon as hegemonism in the sphere of morality and ethics. In the value system, you also said that rules-based order is a manifestation of colonial thinking. Why do you think so? What needs to be done to democratize international relations, as well as to promote and build a multipolar world order? You just talked about rules-based order. Have you ever seen these rules? No. Because no one has ever written them. And no one has ever agreed on them with anyone. How can we talk about rules-based order that no one has seen? From the point of view of common sense, this is nonsense. This is some kind of bullshit. But this is beneficial for those who promote this approach. Because if no one has seen these rules, it means that those who talk about this, they themselves come up with these rules from case to case in a way that suits their interests. This is the colonial approach. Because colonial countries always believe that they were first-class citizens. After all, they always said that they bring enlightenment to their colonies, that they are civilized people, and that they bring the benefits of civilization to other peoples whom they consider second-class people. It is not surprising that today's political elite, say, in the United States, talks about its exclusivity. This is a continuation of this colonial thinking. That is, when they say that they are exceptional, the United States, it means that they are second, other people. They are all people of some other, second class. How else can we perceive this? These are the rudiments of colonial thinking, nothing else. Our approach is completely different. We proceed from the fact that all people are equal. Everyone has the same rights. The rights and freedoms of one country and one people, and where the rights and freedoms of another person or an entire state appear. This is how a multipolar world should gradually be born. This is exactly what we are striving for. And this is what forms the basis of our interaction with China in the international arena. Most recently, the BRICS Association expanded from 5 to 11 states. In your opinion, what historical process is the expansion of BRICS a manifestation of? In addition, in 2020 for Russia, will assume the chairmanship of this association. What role do you think Russia will play in the future in BRICS and during its chairmanship? First, I want to say that the expansion itself was not easy. It was not an easy. I would even say it was a difficult dialogue. But largely thanks to the efforts of our chairman, the President of the Republic of South Africa, Mr. Ramaphosa, I want to once again emphasize his role. We managed to find this consensus and managed to reach an agreement. What lies behind this process of expansion? This process is based on objective reality. The multipolar world is being created on its own. In fact, we can speed up this process, or someone can try to slow it down. And maybe someone will achieve some kind of reduction in the pace of building a multipolar world. But its creation is inevitable. It happens on its own. And it is happening in connection with the growing potential of many countries, including, not least, the growing potential of the People's Republic of China. India is growing in Asia. Indonesia is growing. And many other countries are also growing. In Latin America, Brazil, Russia is getting on its feet and getting stronger. All our countries have their own problems. But where don't they? There are always problems. This is not the point. The point is the growth of potential. And this growth is obvious, including in the economic sphere. As for BRICS, at the time of the summit in Johannesburg, the ratio of the economies of the G7 countries and the BRICS countries was already in favor of the BRICS in terms of purchasing power parity. After the accession of six more members to BRICS, this ratio became even greater in favor of the BRICS countries, and I repeat again, this is a manifestation of the objective process of formation of a multipolar world. This means that everyone who joined BRICS supports the idea and concept of forming a multipolar world. Nobody wants to be on the sidelines of some sovereign. Everyone wants equal relations. And they see, if they joined BRICS, that within the framework of expansion and within the framework of strengthening this format, such relations between countries, we can achieve this goal faster by combining efforts. Mr. President, you are very familiar with history. Moreover, you even create this history yourself. You know, there is an opinion that some models of the development of interstate relations, for example, realism, have not contributed at all to solving the problems that humanity faces in terms of development. And now, at such a historical crossroads, do you think the ideas of Comrade Xi Jinping about building a community with a common destiny for humanity, as well as his initiatives in the field of global development, global security, global civilizational initiative, what significance do they have? In your opinion, what values do they represent? You know, thank you for remembering this. Why? Because, as far as I understand, these ideas were first formulated in general form. In my opinion, in 2013 during the visit of Chairman Xi Jinping to Moscow, he spoke at the Moscow State Institute of International Relations, and for the first time there he spoke about this. Well, of course, this is a global approach to human history. Of course, everything is interconnected. And today, when a multipolar world is being formed, these ideas have become even more relevant. He spoke about this in 2013. And today, they are actually being implemented. This is extremely important. Once again, now I would like to return to where I started. All of us together, and President Xi Jinping in particular, are not guided by opportunistic considerations of the current moment. We are trying to assess the situation holistically and look to the future. And, of course, in this sense, look, in 2013 he spoke here about the formation of a global world and about the relationship between the destinies of all countries and peoples on the planet. And then he came up with the One Belt, One Way initiative. This is the practical implementation of what he spoke about more or less theoretically. It seems to me that consistency and movement towards common goals, while understanding the essence of current events, is what distinguishes both Chairman Xi Jinping and the policy of the PRC. Dear Mr. President, you have met with Xi Jinping 40 times already. What kind of person do you think this is? What kind of leader is Mr. Xi Jinping? Maybe there are some stories that connect you, that you could share with us. You know, President Xi Jinping calls me his friend, and I call him my friend. Our people say, tell me who your friend is, and I will tell you who you are. We have a saying. Therefore, if I now praise Chairman Xi Jinping, I will feel somehow uncomfortable, as if I were praising myself. So I'll try to be objective. Of course, he is one of the recognized world leaders. It's good that you remembered his speech at NGMO in 2013. And I also connected this, you see, with his idea of One Belt, One Way. That is, you understand, after all, this is a leader who, I will repeat this for the third time, but this is very important. He does not make momentary decisions based on some current situation. He assesses the situation. He analyzes. And he looks to the future. It is very important. This is what distinguishes a true world leader from the people we call temporary workers who come for 5 minutes to show off on the international stage and then just as quietly disappear. Of course, President Xi Jinping is a completely different person. He is a thorough, calm, business-like and reliable partner. I would like to emphasize this. If we agree on something with him, then we can be sure that our agreements will be implemented on both sides. As for our meetings, well, yes, there were a lot of them, which is good. Indeed, you probably counted. I don't remember how many there were. Probably 40 meetings. But there was a moment. I don't remember what year. I think we were at APEC. Maybe in Indonesia. It was just my birthday. We celebrated my birthday with him, then in Dushanbe, at another event. It was his birthday. There we celebrated his birthday while working together. We had a very good trip. There was a visit of President Xi Jinping to Russia, and then we went to St. Petersburg. There we went together to the cruiser Aurora. There we rode a boat on the Neva River in St. Petersburg, and for a very long time, in detail, in an absolutely neutral, friendly atmosphere. We talked with him about bilateral relations and about the situation in the world. It was probably the most calm and friendly atmosphere where we talked a lot. I can say so. Where we went over all the issues, all the problems. We discussed everything. It was very thorough, very calm, friendly, like in a home environment. He came here recently, in March, as you know. This was also a very good business visit, which had very serious significance for the future development of our relations. Therefore, I hope that now that our meeting is planned in China, this tradition will be continued.